Hello, and welcome to Around and About Chattanooga. I am your host, Michael Edward Miller. On today's show, we're going to hear about a conservation group that's saving all the ecological diversity in the Tennessee River Gorge. They've protected about 17,000 acres, but the work is not finished. They're called the Tennessee River Gorge Trust. Today, we're going to find out what they do and what they need to protect the rest of the River Gorge. Their annual fundraiser is coming up June 5th. Rick Huffines joins us. He is the executive director of the Tennessee River Gorge Trust, and Sarah Quattrochi. Welcome to Around and About.
Thank you for having us.
So we're talking about 27 miles of wilderness along the Tennessee River. Is that correct?
That's correct. From about where Williams Island is, right across from Baylor School, that would be kind of the gateway to the River Gorge. And it goes about 25 miles down to where the I-24 crosses the river at Nickajack.
If I were standing on a Chattanooga landmark like the Walnut Street Bridge, for example, could I actually see any of the gorge from there?
You could see the gateway to the gorge, what I just described, sort of where Signal Mountain comes to its point and Elder Mountain comes to its point, and that would be kind of the gateway. That's right where Williams Island is at the foot of those two mountains.
It's interesting to think about. If you're downtown, you know, you can be that close to that much wilderness and still be in the heart of Metro Chattanooga.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. Some of the really unique and interesting places that you can be standing on within a 15 to 20 minute drive from the epicenter of downtown. There's an area that we're working right now back in the Cache Canyon area, which is off of Browns Ferry Road. And as the crow flies, it's only about 5.5 miles. It takes about 40 minutes to get all the way back there because it's a small road. But once you get back there, it's almost the same feel as you would get in any mountain cove area like Cades Cove in the Great Smoky Mountains. It's just this beautiful old forest with lots of stones and lichens and moss growing, birds singing everywhere. That's where we're going to be doing a lot of our research this coming summer.
And to protect all this land, I understand you don't necessarily buy the land. You might go to a landowner and get something called a conservation easement. Let's go through that. Suppose I just bought a bunch of acres out there, and I'm planning to just level it and build a suburb or something. How would you approach me as a landowner and get me to sign a conservation easement? What is a conservation easement?
Well, we have some lands that we buy in fee simple. That means we own the deed and the title. And then there's others where an owner wants to protect them in perpetuity, but they don't really want to give up the full ownership of the property. So what we try to do is work out an agreement with the landowner for various and different things. Typically, it would be the development rights, but it could be as far as what we call forever wild conservation easement. And that's pretty much the timber rights, the mineral rights, the development rights. And it all depends on what you're giving up as an owner to the property. You still have access to the property. You still can use the property for your own enjoyment. But then there's certain restrictions, and that's all spelled out in the conservation easement. And that would vary or make a difference on what the value of that donation or the value of what we would actually purchase. Some people donate the easement. Some people would like to sell the easement. So it just depends on what the landowner wants to do.
If I were a landowner and I were particularly interested in something like conservation, I can see how that would be an easy sell. What about the ones who are maybe like, well, what's in this for me? How do you pitch it to them?
Yeah, I guess for some people, you know, it is that innate desire to help in a conservative way for conservation. Then for some, it is a financial thing that maybe it's a way for them to continue holding on to the property. And those are the ones that would rather either donate and get a tax incentive for donating the conservation easement or sell at a discount those rights to a conservation organization.
I know the Tennessee River Gorge Explorer, that big boat, takes tours along the River Gorge so people can see some of the endangered species that are out there. What are some of the endangered species in the gorge?
We've got endangered. There's a lot of mussels in the river. And then the River Gorge Explorer does belong to the aquarium, not the Tennessee Gorge Trust. That is a big confusion with a lot of people. But that is that's part of the Tennessee Aquarium. But other things, large flowering skullcap is a threatened plant that we have in the gorge. It's actually blooming right now. I was out with some individuals from the Tennessee Department of Environment Conservation yesterday. Looking at some of those plants and some of the survey plots that we have. We have, there's another plant called Price's Potato Bean that's a threatened, I believe it's threatened. It may be endangered. I can't remember right now. But there's several plants. There's mussels. There's some fishes that exist within the river as well. I looked at the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service endangered species website, went to their Section 7 mapping site, and we have 33 endangered or threatened species that are known or believed to be known in the Tennessee River Gorge. And there's about 100 species in the state of Tennessee that are listed. So it's pretty impressive that within the River Gorge itself, there's almost a third of those species that are known or believed to be known in the gorge.
I've heard the people at the aquarium with the River Gorge Explorer talk about people seeing bald eagles on those cruises.
Yeah.
Is that fairly common?
Yeah, you can see bald eagles fairly common, even at Moccasin Bend. I've seen them driving around on I-24.
Wow.
Yeah, just here recently, catching a catfish, swoop down on the river and catch a catfish. You see ospreys, you see bald eagles. There's a lot of neotropical birds, the migrant songbirds. They're in strong numbers right now, starting to move on. Some of them are going further north, but it is quite an impressive place to see quite a lot of biodiversity from plants, amphibians, fish, as well as the birds also.
And you said you've got some science going on there. We will talk about that in just a moment after this quick break.
Support comes from Ohachi Glassworks, celebrating 20 years of offering blown glass functional art and sculptural lighting. In-studio consultations available by appointment. Information at PrenticeHicks.com.
Support comes from Independent Lifestyle Solutions, designing home modifications for entrances, bathrooms, and kitchens that allow seniors to remain independent and extend their quality of life. Learn more at IndependentLifestyleSolutions.com.
You are listening to A Roundabout Chattanooga. If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Rick Huffines and Sarah Quattrochi from the Tennessee River Gorge Trust. And they recently got a grant to study some climate change, some of the effects of climate change out there, a grant from Lyndhurst. Rick, tell me about this grant. This sounds like some pretty important work being done.
Yeah, we approached Lyndhurst, and I received a phone call from them yesterday. So we were approved for a grant to do a climate change vulnerability assessment of the natural communities within the gorge. And what that really means is that we're going to go back to 1984. There was a natural community map that was created by TDEC. We're going to revisit that with some more modern technology, satellite imagery, and lots of other stuff that'll help us, I think, get a little more accurate with regards to the natural communities. And a natural community is things like a bottomland hardwood forest or a pine oak hickory forest or a mixed mesophytic forest. I'm estimating 20 to 24 different natural communities within the River Gorge. We want to recreate that map, make it a little bit more accurate, and then we want to plug those communities into climate change models and look at what we can expect to happen in 20, 40, and 60 years out to each of those from a vulnerability perspective. What if CO2 rises, if temperature rises, if moisture decreases or increases, because it could be a lot of different variabilities, what's that going to do to each of those communities? And that will help us inform our decisions better with regards to where we need to purchase the lands that still aren't protected, where we need to focus our stewardship efforts so that we're using science to base our decisions rather than just opportunistic things that come up. And really thrilled to get that news from Lyndhurst yesterday. And I'm looking forward. It's going to be about a two-year project that we've got a graduate student that's working with us named Dave Jacobs that'll be doing that project.
You've also been doing some work with birds out there. You've done a study of a warbler, and you've built a bird monitoring and inventory lab, a bird banding lab. What is all that?
Yeah, real excited about that. Ben Wood stepped up and gave us an operational grant, which we applied to this research. We're going to be studying the cerulean warbler. It's the most rapidly declining songbird in all of North America. It's declined by about 70% since 1966. So if you do the math on that, it's headed for a downward spiral to being listed or extinct. So what we want to do, we have records of having the cerulean in the River Gorge in the past. We believe that they're still nesting there. We have a student by the name of Holland Youngman's working with Dr. David Aborn here at UTC. They're going to be studying post-fledgling foraging habitat, meaning in layman's terms, what do the females and the young need to eat when they come off the nest so that they're healthy and they have fat reserves to make the migration back to Colombia, South America, and the northern Andes for the winter months. We want to make sure that they're making that trip back and then also making the return trip the next year to create more breeding pairs. We will hopefully at the end of that, again, using science to understand, do we need to do anything different with our forest to create more of the type of foraging habitat that they need? And then share that with the ornithological community as a whole, because this bird is declining across the region from here in the southern Appalachians all the way to the northern Apps. We'll also be congruently with that, we've constructed and just completed a bird banding laboratory. We're working with two local folks, John Diener and Lizzie Godrick, are going to be operating that lab for us and doing inventory work, meaning capturing and banding neotrops during the spring migration, also looking at them during productivity and survivorship during the nesting season, as well as doing some fall migrational banding, just to help us understand more about what we do have that's using the River Gorge. I think really it goes down to if the birds are an indicator species of the health of your forest. And if the birds aren't healthy, it tells you your forest isn't healthy. You need to look at why it's not healthy. And then the forest itself lends a lot to this community, from clean air to cleaner water, from soil erosion protection and things of that nature. So we want to use the birds as that indicator species to help us understand what, if anything, is wrong with our forest and what, if anything, we could do better for our forest.
And you mentioned neotrops, neotropical birds. What kind of birds are those?
It's your migratory birds. Your things like summer tanagers, scarlet tanagers, worm-eating warblers, cerulean warblers that we just talked about, your wood thrush. We have some resident birds like robins and cardinals and blue jays and tufted titmice and things like that. These are the birds that come and go. They come here for the summer months to raise their young, nest and breed. Then they go back down to South America to the South Americans like to call them their home grounds. They say we don't have winter. We call them wintering grounds, but the South Americans say we don't have winter. So they go back down there for the home grounds.
If you're just joining us, we are talking about the Tennessee River Gorge Trust. Obviously, they do conservation, and as you're hearing, they do more than just preserving the land. They're actively involved in scientific studies, things like that, on the land. Of course, all this is very expensive, and you've got a fundraiser coming up on June 5th to help fund all these efforts. What is the fundraiser coming up on June 5th?
Yes, Mike, the fundraiser is called Not Just Another Gorgeous Evening. And this is a fundraiser that we've had for the last 3 years, and we've added the not just because we've reinvented it a bit.
Okay.
And we want people to understand, too, that this evening is a fun night, but it's not just about a party. They're really, when they come to the event, are taking part of the conservation efforts that are happening in the Tennessee River Gorge. So we're going to kick it off at the Tennessee River Place, which is an amazing venue located in Lookout Valley, right at the entrance to the gorge, the gateway to the gorge that Rick mentioned earlier, and has a beautiful view of Williams Island. The facility is amazing. The Little family owns it and operates it as a venue here in Chattanooga, and they're kind enough to donate it to us for the evening for us to have our fundraising event. At 5:30, it'll be kicked off with a cocktail party, and the Ben Freeburg Trio will have smooth jazz. And during this time, we've also partnered with the Townsend Atelier, and they will have about 9 artists that will be placed around the property, and they'll be painting in plain air.
Oh, yeah.
Which means
wow.
Painting in fresh air, and they'll be doing different vistas of the gorge, which will later be auctioned in a silent auction fresh off the easel. So will the people who would like to purchase those paintings that are created that evening will be able to take them home once they're dry.
So that's pretty cool.
It is cool. You can see we really wanted to have an event, something that would help connect our visitors with really paying attention to what's being protected right in front of them. And the art, kind of the visual art connection, we're hoping will be something that will be excited. People love to see the creative process and something new that'll be added. And then Lee Towery is doing the catering for the evening, so she'll have amazing food. And after that, the Ninth Street Stompers are a local band. They'll be doing Hot Swing, and people can stay and dance and just enjoy the evening and the view as the sun sets. So it should be a fun
Great.
Night.
We're just about out of time. What is the website where people can register or find out more information?
People can find out more information about the Tennessee River Gorge Trust at trgt.org. And specifically about the event, they can go to trgt.org/tickets and purchase their tickets.
Sarah, Rick, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having us, Mike.
Appreciate it.